Today we are talking to 5'11" guard out of Gold Beach, Oregon. His team is currently ranked number 15 on OSA and 8-7. Early on in this season, I got a message from Johnny, and he was saying to watch out for Gold Beach, and I was kind of sleeping on him, definitely sleeping on him. At the time they only played California schools, and I wasn't really sure what they had coming, but after they beat Bonanza and then beat Lost River, they had a couple of rough stretches with players out. But what kind of determination did you bring into this season? Because I know that you guys are always pretty good, but you guys are always on the outside looking in of this league. And early on, I thought it was going to be the same thing, but you guys look like you're right in the mix.
Well, I first moved here my freshman year, and it was a rough season. My go, it was coming in. I started as a 5'6", about 120 pounds, and we went end of the season with a 5-19 record. Going into my sophomore year, we started three freshmen and two sophomores, including myself, and it was wasn't the easiest of the COVID season, and ended up going 0-0 in league. And coming in this year, we had a chip on our shoulder to try to beat out those teams that we couldn't in the past. And this year, going into league, we're now 4-0. And it's been kind of a blessing that my team has just been in that process to get better with themselves.
Yeah, it seems like you guys have really been building up. I mean, I watched you at the Salem Academy tournament. I know I talked to you then. And you guys were down a couple guys at the time, so I kind of got a bad view of your team since you guys – how many guys were you down? I think you said two or three.
We were down at the time two starters.
Yeah, so I watched them versus – I forget who it was now. I guess I can look at it quick here. But the competition wasn't that great. I think – let's see. Yeah, I mean, I guess you played Sutherland and beat them pretty bad because they're not that great of a 3A team this year. And then Crane, which is a very good one. You played two really good 1A schools, which those are both respectful losses if you look at those guys' records. But I got a pretty bad view of you guys just based off that. And then going into league, I posted that thing saying that you guys probably finished like third or fourth just because of kind of what I saw. And I didn't realize what you had missing. So that's, I mean, you had COVID cancellations and then you played back-to-back games and beat two teams that were ahead of you in league at the time. So that is just massive. And you guys really have a chance to honestly win this league title. If you take care of business against Bandon, and even if you do lose to Toledo at Toledo, you have a good shot at this thing.
Yeah. With my guys being very persistent and staying with it. Cause we had this week's been a tough stretch of five games in about 7 days. And yeah, like you said, all those COVID games getting made up all in the same week is going to be a challenge, but I really think we're going to strive to get over that hill.
Yeah, just looking at it, yeah, you guys play Myrtle Beach tomorrow and then Bandon on Tuesday, and then you got at least a day break before you go to Toledo, so that's good. But yeah, you guys, I mean, that game has been really big, and at least that's at home, so that's really good to get that first one out of the way if you can at home. Let's see. I guess I was going to say, like, who's your best matchup you like playing in your league? I know you've been there for a couple of years, so who have you always, like, gone back and forth with throughout the years?
Best matchup? I want to say Walport. Walport, I don't know if you know Zach Holsey. He's been a pretty good player since I've been in high school. He was the MVP last year, and all of our games just go back and forth, and he's been a pretty big player for them. And sadly, I've only beaten him once out of the, I want to say, five matchups I've had against him. But I think the table's starting to turn.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, I heard that from, like, Toledo guys, too, like, Gunner and his brother. They said, like, they were really, like, looking out for Walport. They're like, no matter what their record is, he'll have a game. And if he goes off, like, he can carry him. So that's cool.
Most definitely.
Other people are seeing that. I've never seen him play personally, but I know during the football season, like, I definitely knew who that guy was. he was one of their best players on that team. And they've had a couple of good athletes go through there the last couple of years.
Definitely an athlete. They had a kid last year. He didn't play this year, but he was definitely a big help for their team. And I think it's kind of a big loss for them that they don't have him this year.
So do you I think you said you play AAU basketball. If you do, I guess kind of like where do you play or like what organization do you play for?
I do. I'm about to start my first year in the summer with the Oakland Soldiers 17U circuit team.
Oh, wow. That's going to be some good competition.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. It's been a dream of mine to be there for a while.
What brought you on to play AAU? Was that just your strive to play at the next level and get some looks, or someone like tell you about it, or how'd that go down?
I mean, I've been in the AAU world for a while, and I used to play them along a lot growing up, and it's kind of been a goal to reach that level, to be in that kind of stardom where they're one of the best teams known around the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I even heard of that AAU program. They're kind of well known around the whole, I mean, like you said, around the country. They're a very, very well-known program. They're always having really good players come out of there. See, right now, I guess, is this – have you ever, I guess, in high school, have you finished above 500? I guess with what you said, I don't think you have then, probably.
I have not. My success hasn't been very great here, but
– Let's see. Oh, yeah, last year you didn't win the game. But that's actually a pretty good turnaround, though, from, like, last year not even winning the game to already having 8 wins and 13 games already. So, or 15, I guess. What do you say is the key for you guys' success this year? I know I was talking to a Toledo guy, and he was just saying how well your team played into them, and just how, I don't know, how you guys played as a team, more or less, rather than you just gunning for your shots, because obviously you're really good and you're going to get yours always. But it sounded like you really played a team game instead of like a you game.
I mean, the biggest is just buying in. Last year and the years in the past, it's just been tough getting guys in the gym and not wanting to put in that extra time. And sometime this year, it's just something clicked in these kids' mind during the summer that just decided to want to get them in the gym every day. And now we got kids. We had something today when we had an off day for practice, and they all got in the gym. So it's just having that mindset is just changing our culture in our town.
Yeah, that's a big thing for, like, everywhere. And I preach this all the time when I talk to anybody, is if you really want to turn a program around, it really starts at the base level. And you guys are skipping a step kind of because you're already in high school, obviously. But if you're to build a program, you need to start from, like, even, like, fourth or fifth grade. You need to find someone that can set up a group, an organization, like, or even, like, YMCA basketball, whatever. Just have a good coach that teach good fundamentals. Get that like your team built, and just have continually to have that strive of just working, doing the stuff you can. And then in high school, you'll have a lot better chance because you at least have a foundation of playing with the same guys and having those fundamentals that you have been growing up. And that's really good to see and hear from Gold Beach, because I know it's a big, and like, same way in football, like, people are, if you start with, like, your JV and 8th grade programs, you can always build up from there. And even, like, small towns like Gold Beach, like, you have to do that or else you're going to be, like, lower on the totem pole every year.
Well said. That's
go ahead.
So that's just my goal since I moved here when I was 14, and I just wanted to change this culture around of not getting this and getting all these looked down upon as the weak links, and wanting to get that flipped up.
Yeah, you guys are doing well. Like, just looking at you guys won 4 in a row after I last saw you. So you guys got those starters back and you guys are rolling. Every game is, besides Coquille, you beat Coquille pretty good. What happened in that game? I mean, you beat them by 17. That's That's, or I guess 16. That's pretty impressive, actually.
I mean, for me, I was having a bit of an off game going into that, and having those guys around me step up and knock down some shots was a big key essential in that game. But as you saw, we were up by 20 at halftime, and things started to sag off the second half. But staying persistent and closing off the game and still take that W was pretty good.
The only thing I say about you guys, you guys actually jumped in the RPI rankings a ton the last week. If you haven't noticed, I think you were in the 20s, and now you guys put in a really good position by what you did this last weekend. That even if you don't finish top two in league, you could snag like the 15th or 16th seed, which, I mean, you'd be in the playoffs against a really good team, but heck, you made the playoffs. That's actually like that last weekend was really like those three games in 3 days are huge. Because, I mean, that Toledo, I think even though they have a couple losses this year, they're still like, yeah, they were 15th in OSA back then. So they're still a solid team. And then you play Myrtle Point, which, I mean, you should beat Myrtle Point. I mean, I hope you do. So you got Myrtle Point, which I would say that's a lock. And then you got Walport, which you kind of never know, but you guys seem to have their number. I think you guys are a little better than them this year. And then you play Reed Sport again. So, I mean, if you take care of business, I mean, you guys could have lock up an automatic bid, which is pretty impressive considering what you guys did last year.
Definitely, definitely. Just working on that, taking each game one day by a day and just keeping our cool and playing our game.
What is something that you say that there's a guy on your team or a couple guys in your team that just work really well, or like, is there someone on your team that you can always count on or someone that you look for, or just, I guess, just someone that is a good player on your team that deserves some recognition?
I want to say one of my best friends, Jake Westerman, number 13. He's been with me through everything, and I know I can count on him with all of his stuff. And a newer guy stepping in is one guy we didn't have last year, but a really good fill that we've had this year is Dylan Middleton, number 12. And they just putting in work from the start, and they just stepping our game up.
Wow. I guess in your – man, Bandon's a pretty good team, but like I talked to you the other day on through Instagram DMs, is that Toledo should have beat them. They were head down with like 3 minutes left, and then they ended up just – they fouled a couple guys that they shouldn't have, and it just led to them shooting free throws, and they ended up pulling that out. But, like, you guys can definitely beat that team, which I mean, early on, I think they were like 10-2 or something like that, and they just beat East Atlanta, which was like at least top like 8 team in 2A. So, yeah, I mean, if I even said this like 3 weeks ago, I probably wouldn't have believed that you guys would be in this position right now, and that's pretty awesome to see. I love to be wrong. Like, I always tell people, like, this whole thing is to promote you guys. It's like, if I have a prediction of a team finishing like fourth and they end up finishing second, like, that's awesome, and I'll congratulate you guys. Like, I don't care. Sometimes I'll look really bad. Like, I'll look really wrong, and I'm excited about that just because you guys proved something. Like, you had a mission to prove even me wrong for saying that, or like the whole state wrong just because I made you mad or like angry because of that. But you guys are doing awesome, and I'm really excited to see where you guys finish.
Oh, yeah. The words definitely stuck with us, starting from when you had a ranking listing on who's your Pendleton locks, and you had a Bonanza at number 8. And going into that next week, we were up with them, and we just took each step, and we beat Bonanza. Next game, you said, oh, they're better than you. You have to prove yourself. We took that team out. Next game, you said, we're still not that team, and we got to prove ourselves again. And every time, we just have a new mission to beat.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I hope that Bandon game is like on some type of stream or something, because I definitely want to watch that game, because they're a good team. And like I just said, I think you guys can beat them. So I hope there's something out there, if not getting updates. I know there's that lady that takes pictures for you guys. I know she was keeping me updates to the last game, which was the first time I had updates from you guys throughout a game. So that was really awesome to get that, because I thought you and Toledo kind of like, even like 2 weeks ago, I thought Toledo would probably beat you guys, but she sent me a direct message, and you guys were up like 10 or something at half. Or I'm like, I was really impressed. I was like, wow, this is crazy. I didn't think you guys would be ahead like that.
Yeah, Whitney's a great lady. Definitely one to keep around. But yeah, I say going to that game, I wasn't really buying the whole Gunner. I want Rothenberger. And I didn't think he was the guy you were saying he was, and he definitely filled that. He was one of the best players I've played in a while.
Yeah, I think he scored 36, I think, or something like that. I think his brother
texted me.
And yeah, that's insane. I mean, I think even his dad said, like, early on in the season, his brother texted me. His dad didn't even think that he was that type of player. But this year, he's just popped off. And he's crazy. It'll be interesting to see, actually, who might win your league MVP this year. Because I guess if you guys finish number one, which is definitely a possibility right now, as you have a two-game lead over Toledo, and then you're pretty much tied with Bannon, as in they played one more league game than you, and you're both undefeated. But it'll be interesting to see who gets that league MVP, because normally it's your best team. But if Bannon wins it, I don't know Bannon that well, so I don't know who would be an MVP on that team, because I think you and Gunner are the best players in this league. And if somehow you guys don't win that league, I don't know who's going to get it on there. I mean, because generally it goes to that number one team.
I mean, Bannon's a pretty solid all-around team. And I don't know, one of my boys, Owen, he's their point guard over there, and he's a pretty well-consistent player since I've played him before. And it was just solid player.
Owen Brown?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'll need to look him up. I know, like, Tua is the only one that's kind of hard for me, because I was, like, before this year, I mean, jumping into COVID, I was just going to start doing 2A and 4A, and then everything COVID happened, and then it didn't really cover much because of everything. And so this year, jumping on, like, learning everything about 2A and 4A, I mean, I already knew a good amount about 2A, but, like, especially this Sunset Conference, I really didn't know anyone besides, like, Rothenbergers, or I guess it's about the only people I knew from there. So it's really good to know people and, like, figure out all these teams' names, because people are asking me, and even, like, you, dude, I didn't even know who you were, like, 2 months ago or 3 months ago before you messaged me. Then after we talked, I actually saw you at the Salem Academy tournament when you were a small freshman, but I didn't know that at the time. But it's crazy when 2A is hard one to cover with everyone being so spread out and all across Oregon. I guess who is a team even outside of your league that you might want to face if you do get into when you get in the first round of playoffs? I'm putting that into existence right now.
I definitely want to match up against Ivy. They've been our only 2A team that we've lost to this year, and it was definitely a winnable game. We were just down a key player, and it just kind of costed us, but definitely one I want to match up again.
Yeah, just quick looking over at them, I mean, they're 14-0. Who is someone on that team that's good? Because I don't know them at all. You might not know names, but you might know a number or something.
I actually play AAU with these guys, and they're a good group of kids. But some key ones is Stars. I don't want to flunk his last name either.
Yeah, I see it, yeah.
Sam Hess and Daniel Polk, and those are all—they're pretty good kids.
Sam Hess, okay. Yeah, they're 14-0. I think they're the only 2A team that is undefeated, I believe. Yes, they are, which is—it's a little underwhelming. Like, even it's hard because sometimes these teams are undefeated, but they just haven't played anyone. Like looking at this team, just looking up and down it. I mean, you guys or Oakland is the best team, like, they played. And that's not nothing to say bad about you guys. But, like, I mean, right now you rank, like, 15th. So, like, it's not like they've ever even played, like, a 3A number, like, 5 or something, just to see where they kind of match up. So these are really hard to see what they might do. Because, like, if you got matched up with them, which, I mean, if they somehow ended out being number one, actually in OSA, they could get upset in the first round. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, that sounds crazy. But right now, like, I mean, my tops in this in the state for 2A right now are, like, you got Salem Academy and you got Western Christian. I think either of those teams could beat those, like, IV by 20+. And that's not saying IV is, like, bad in any way, but those teams are just on a different level. And when they, like, barely beat St. Mary's Medford by 3 and St. Mary's Medford isn't 4-9, I don't know if they're down guys or anything, but that's, I don't know, I just don't believe that, like, hype about them right now.
I hear you out. It's, yeah, it definitely was a kind of a soft schedule, but props to them for keeping that yeah, consistent. I really do think they're going to go undefeated, but I do see Cascade Christian at the end of their schedule.
Oh, yeah. That'll give you a good test to see, like, if they're for real or not. They do got Bandon in there, but Bandon really fell off. They started out really hot, and then they kind of – I mean, I guess they're still 12-3, but, I mean, they beat you guys. What happened in that game against you guys? I guess they lost to you, actually. Never mind.
I'm sorry, who are we talking about?
Bonanza. Yeah.
That was also another thing. I've seen a lot of JV teams on their schedule.
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now.
We weren't really buying that.
Yeah, that's – I don't know. It's weird because at first they started like 8-0, but they like were playing really bad, like 1-8 or 2-8s, and those are always hard to look at. And I thought they would be pretty quality. Then you guys beat them up pretty good, and Bandon just beat them by 20, pretty much the same as you guys did. And then they played a couple of JVs, which doesn't really make sense. They add those – count those as wins, but there shouldn't be wins. I don't know. This year in 2A is – it's kind of new because Western Christian lost a lot of the normal guys they had in the past, and they were just a powerhouse. I mean, they kind of always are, but they lost a couple guys, and kind of a new system for them in a way. It's just new guys learning each other. The team this year, I would say, that probably surprised me the most is Regis. I think you might even watch them at the Salem Academy tournament. They're not like someone that's in us really scary, but they're super quality. And I mean, they only lost to Cascade Christian by like 15, and they were in that game most of it.
I thought so too. I saw pretty solid team. I didn't really see a standout player, but I saw a solid team and a very strong in numbers with their bench.
Do you happen to know anyone from the Jefferson team at all? Or you like, I know you might know Diego maybe.
Yeah, I was hearing something about him getting injured the other day or someone with there.
Yeah, I don't know them. Like, I talked to them somewhat, but I didn't really get much more than what they said to me after the game. And they said it could be a broken ankle, or it could be – I heard the first report from one of the reporters said it might be Achilles, but after the game, I think they were saying more of a broken ankle, which would really suck. It wouldn't be a complete end-all for them, but that's a big blow because he was averaging 21 points a game. He really was turning into that number one option, and that is a really big blow for them.
Yeah, I really heard that from multiple other teams saying they're definitely title contenders.
Yeah, that actually didn't even notice that they were literally number two in the OSA. That's insane. Because like I seen them play, and not this year, but I've seen them play the last 2 years with these same guys. Besides Jace came over from Sio last year, which was his first year. And he is a good football player. He's their quarterback. And he made them a lot better as well. But dang, that's crazy. Because, like, they're number two, but they lost to, I guess it's Westside. They lost to Wilhelmina by, like, 7. And Wilhelmina's not even in the top, like, 12, 3A school. So, I don't know. They're a quality team, though. But without him, that's going to make that league really interesting because – I don't know if you – I mean, you might see my stories, but that league is so close. Like, either one of those teams, like, in the top four even, could really win it or compete with anyone in that league right now.
Is Jefferson's league – who's the other
– You got Regis, you got Eastland, and then Oakland. And then it kind of falls off after that.
I see. Wasn't too sold on that league either. I wasn't seeing very much competition, but that league with the Salem Academy is really stacked over there.
Yeah, that Central Valley conference with Jefferson and them, it's definitely not like your top conferences, but it's like definitely a pretty decently quality. Like you got four quality teams at least in there. With your league, out of like you got seven teams, you guys probably have about like three quality to good teams, and the rest it kind of falls off. It's like Bandon, obviously, you guys in Toledo, and then Coquille's okay, but they probably won't be competing with the top guys in that league. But yeah, that Tri River conference is always good. I mean, Kennedy is always good. I don't know how they're always good, but I mean, they're always good at football, always good at basketball. It really falls off after those top three teams, but I mean, they're the best of the best generally. So, let's see. Something else that I was wanting to talk about is, how long has your dad been coaching you?
Coaching me personally or coaching at the high school? The high school. He moved up before when I was in the Bay Area. He still was up here coaching my eighth grade year. And he had a pretty solid base, but still not kids buying in. And he had some solid players and definitely should have had a playoff shot, but they didn't initiate that play-in game rule yet.
Nice. That's awesome. I always wonder how it is like playing for your dad. I know when at the Salem Academy tournament, he was like hyping you up and like when you were throwing down dunks in the warm up and stuff like that. And I think a normal coach probably would get a little mad at you. But
oh, yeah. My team loves it. And the coaches love it. It's just kind of like a kind of shows off what we put in. And I know you, my guy's always trying to do the same thing, but it's cool seeing how far they've come from where they've started.
Yeah, I also think like going back saying like building a culture, it's like even like doing that stuff, even though it might be kind of even a little cheesy right now, just doing those things to hype your team up and like get you guys confidence before the game, it's a big deal because coming from like even like last year, like you were losing all these games, like you guys kind of aren't used to this yet, but like you're building on something, and that like just that positivity for the game probably helps you guys out a lot just to get your juices going right before the game.
Yeah, you never really want to go into a game stiff and like kind of nervous. It's just it's fun to be a little really relaxed and kind of joking around a little bit just to get that blood flowing and that adrenaline going.
What is your best dunk you think you've thrown down in a game?
In a game. My best feeling was I got a steal. My first ever dunk was against Bandon last year, and it was just the way seeing like that crowd just go nuts seeing someone do that for the first time, because I don't think they've ever seen somebody in Gold Beach dunk before.
What was it? Was it a rim grazer, or did you throw that thing down?
Oh, I threw it down a little bit. I'll give myself a little bit of my credit for that. But again, I give my credit to Jake because I got that. I believe I got a tip, and then he threw it ahead, and it felt pretty good. And watch it, looking back at them, and they're all jumping up, and it just felt nice.
Yeah, what went into that tip off the other day? You sent me that video of like it was kind of a bad pass behind you, and then instead of like faking like an like up and under and like going up for a layup, you just took out the 3-point line and just drained on the guy's eye to start.
I just missed the catch. I was gonna throw it down. I was just like, oh shoot, I gotta make up for it. So I just like, let's just pull it, start this game off 3-0.
Yeah, that's what it looked like to me. It looked like it was kind of a bad pass, a little bit behind you, but you were already thinking about catching and throwing that thing, and then you just casually go out to the corner and just drain one in the guy's face. That was insane.
Oh yeah, just can't find that way to hype up.
I guess your offensive play style, like you seem so free out in the court, and there's times that when I was watching you that you took some pretty tough contested shots, and you probably could have had some better chances of passing the ball out of there. But, like, I guess when you're driving, like, what's kind of going into your mind? Because you have a couple of tricks in your bag. I mean, you have the Euro step. You go up and under. Your step back three is nasty. But, like, what do you try to do to make sure that you're taking better shots instead of just hucking them up? Because you are the number one option, and you pretty much have free reign out there.
I mean, yeah, we just have a pretty freestyle offense. I think we have one of the best offense there is right now, and running our sets pretty well, but using the screens and just kind of just reading the defense and seeing whether I should get up a nice floater or going underneath or a nice kick out threes, because my guys can shoot the rock a little bit.
What are you averaging now? I know early in the season you were going crazy because you're playing all these like all right teams, and you're putting up crazy like stats. Like what's that now?
I started off the season. I mean, in that first tournament, I was having about 40 a game, but the end of preseason was, I want to say about 36, and then going into league, I think about 25.
Okay. Well, what do you think is the reason for your little bit of a drop off?
I mean, I'm perfectly fine with it. It's just now that my guys have developed their own game, I don't have to score as much, which is relieving me a lot and getting me free, you know?
Yeah, I literally right after I asked that, I was like, that's kind of dumb because, I mean, you guys got your guys back. And so, like, even I don't know even who those guys are, but, like, even if they are averaging, like, 8 each, that takes 16 from you at least probably. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's just with teams, you know, teams like to go box and one or some type of matchup, and it's just it doesn't work anymore because these guys can hit down those shots.
Looking at your roster, you guys are a young team. I mean, you have a majority is juniors, and then you got two sophomores, but that's pretty promising even for this year and next year.
This year, I believe we have three sophomores starting and two juniors, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's you, and I mean, I don't know your starters. So, yeah, there's a sophomore in Tanner Wright, sophomore in Jake Westerman, and Nelson Wilstead.
Yes. And those guys are big. Nelson Wilstead's also one of my guys I'd say is reliable at all times, along with Tanner Wright. Those guys have always been there to be those filler. And yeah.
I noticed not to cut you off, but I noticed at the Sam Academy tournament, like I was saying, number 12, Dylan Middleton, he can shoot the ball a little bit. He hit a couple big threes when you guys really needed him at the Sam Academy tournament.
Oh, definitely. He was we didn't have him last year. He didn't come out and wasn't too sure, but we're so blessed to have him come out and doing what he's doing.
I'm going to wrap this thing up a little bit, but I just want to kind of talk about you a little bit more on this, is that I'm going to continue to try to push you out there, the college coaches, because I want to see you guys, anyone that's in the 2A through 4A. I mean, you guys are super, like, super undervalued guys. No one's looking at you guys, really. So I'm going to continue to send film out to coaches that I know that are following me. Like, I sent film out to that other guy, that Portland community coach. Because he followed me, and I don't know that many like college coaches. I know some followed me, but I have a lot of followers, so it's hard to scroll back and go through that all that. But I'm going to continue to push your name out there to get you some looks as good as I can and talk to other people. And I guess one thing I want to ask you, what is your biggest goal that you think that you want to achieve this season? Even if you don't win like a first round playoff game, what is something that you want to reach realistically?
First, I say I greatly appreciate you doing this for me and all that stuff. But going to your question, I say my goal freshman year and my coach's goal, since his team was the last team to reach that Pendleton, is just heading straight up there to beat that, because this culture hasn't been too kind to us lately, and it's definitely going to be a big build for us.
I wanted to give an overview of my picks for the top 10s and why I picked them. So first off, I'm going to be talking about 4A softball. I got Marist number 1. They're 3-1. Only loss is to a California team. They're very good. Last year, they were tremendous, and they're up there with that team from last year. Then we got Cascade being number 2. They are incredible. Also, they only lost to Marist 3-0 early on. And that's why I have them all the way up to number 2, because being that close to Marist shows that they are a very quality team. Then I have Banks number 3, because Banks is a really good team. They only have played one game, but they should be somewhere within the top 5. Just didn't really know to place them. But then I put State in at 4, because they start off the season 5-0, and that's really impressive. Then I put Astoria right behind them. The beginning of the season, I didn't have them this high, but they're 4-2, and they have beat Toledo pretty good, Marshfield, and Newport. They deserve to be up there. Then you have LeGrand, who, last time I checked, they played 3 games this weekend, but I'm not sure if they're even in there yet. Yeah, they're not in there yet, but LeGrand should be up there somewhere, so I have them at 6. Because they should be up in the top somewhere, but it's not really sure where to put them at the moment. Then you got Sweet Home, who has started the year on fire. They are 4-1, with their only loss being to Redmond by 2. But then they beat Junction City, who I have later on in this rankings. And then they beat Madras pretty handily. But they should be up there in the top 7 most of the year. And then Mazama, they're 3-3. 3-2 actually, and they only losses was to South Umpqua and to Capoose, but they rebounded and beat North Bend and North Salem. I wasn't really sure if they would make my top 10, but those wins are good enough at least to be at the end of the top 10. And then you have Junction City coming in at the end here. They're 3-1, their only loss being the Sweet Home by 5, but they did beat Toledo and Seaside and Tillamook. At least compared to everyone else, it was kind of hard to, at the end of the top 10, who to put in there. Since so early on, you could have put Marshfield in that kind of category as well, but I didn't put them. And then you got Estacada here as my last team in the top 10. It was between them and North Marion to see who would get into that top 10, but I picked Estacada. And then in my considered, I have North Marion, Henley, and Ontario. And talking about Estacada here for a quick second, I think I put them in there because they beat Astoria by 1, who is my 5th team. They only lost to Banks, who is my 3rd team, by 2. And then they only lost to Cascade, who's my 2nd team, by 7, but they were in that game for most of it. So that's why I picked them over North Marion, as North Marion has only played 2 games. Now I'm going over to 4A baseball. This one's a little bit easier to depict who might be good this year. 4A baseball is very good this year. I have Hidden Valley, my number 1 team. They're loaded. Everyone on that team is just tremendous. They're 6-0. They just beat Philomath pretty good the other day by about 6. And then the next team you got is LeGrand. They're 5-1. They're very, very, very good as well. And then you got North Marion right behind them, who's 5-1, and they're just like the rest. They're all good teams. They're all very good. And you got Banks in there, who their only loss is to North Marion by 1. So I have them 4 right behind North Marion. And then Gladstone slides right into 5th right behind them. They're 4-2. Wins over Staten and Philomath, who Philomath started out shaky, and they're 1-5, but they played some of the better teams in 4A, and I think 5A too, so they should be fine. Yeah, and Gladstone's only losses to Henley by 1 and Banks by 5, so they're a quality team. And I have Marist sneaking in here at 6. They're 3-3, but 3 of their losses, I believe, are down when they were in Arizona. So those are hard to tell how good those teams are, but they beat Cascade by 12. Then they beat, I guess the rest are, they only lost North Marion by 1, so I think that's why I have them at 6. And then Henley is also a very good team. They're 3-1. They are my 7th team here. They beat Philomath by 3, Gladstone by 1, and Crescent Valley 5A by 3 only. And then I put Newport in there at 8, but Newport could be a lot higher. I'm just waiting on Newport to play a better team, which they do play State in here tomorrow. So that will really show me where they stand. They did beat Astoria, but by good amount early on. And then, I mean, they beat everyone really good. So I'm just waiting for them to really play a top 10 team before I really slide them higher. Then next, I have Staten at 9. They lost to North Marion by 5, and then Gladstone by 3. And then they had a couple wins after that against Churchill and St. Helens. So I have them in there. Since losing to those teams by that close, they deserve to be in the top 10 somewhere. Just not really sure where to put them yet. And then talking about Sisters, which is all these last teams are in the same league. They're 5-1. They're a surprise team this year. They lost to Cottage Grove, which is really weird because Cottage Grove is not very good this year. But then they rebounded and beat Burns pretty good, beat Joseph, beat Grant Union. I thought that at least deserved to be in the top 10 with that 5-1 start. And they might be a team that might be just on the outside looking in most of the year because of their conference is so good. But they started out well, so I kind of want to give them that. Then Sayula started out tremendously good. They're 5-1 as well. They honestly could have taken that 10th spot, honestly. But I decided that the other teams, like, their wins looked a little better. Yeah, they haven't really played anyone inside Kilkeel, but Sayula is right on the in consideration there. And then Mazama is 3-3. I put them in there because they did beat Crescent Valley, who I think it was Staten who lost them by 3 only. Yeah. Or Henley only lost them by 3, but yeah, they could be a team that could be sneaking into that top 10. Then Philomath is 1-5, but if you look at Philomath's losses, I mean, they played all the top teams and have just lost, but you got to give them props for being there. I'm trying to look at their, yeah, they're 1-5, and they lost to Gladstone by 6, Henley by 3, Crescent Valley by 6, Hidden Valley by 6. So, I mean, they deserve to be there somewhere because they have played some of the best teams. Going on to 3A softball. 3A softball should be really fun this year. I have South Umpqua being my number one team as of now. They have started off 6-0, I believe, or 8-0, actually, looking at these rankings. I mean, the rankings on OSA right now. They're 8-0. They played some good competition as well. That's why I have them that high. I mean, they beat Taft by 2 and Dayton by 11. Everyone else is kind of not the best competition, but that's still overall very solid for beating those teams by that much. And then number 2 is Yamhill-Carlton, who Yamhill-Carlton could be your number 1 team as well. So either one of those would be a good pick. I mean, they went down to California and played some teams like that, but they played Henley, beat them pretty handily both times. They beat Astoria by 10, beat Newport by 15, and Newport is a good team as well for softball. So that's impressive wins there for Yamhill. They're a very good squad this year. Wouldn't be surprised if they win state, honestly. Then you got Burns, who is 6-1. They're in my number 3 team. Very, very solid. They lost to Grant Union by 4, but Grant Union is the best 2A team right now. So that's a respectful loss. They beat Pilot Rock, who is a pretty good 2A team as well. So they're sneaking in at 3 there for now. And then you got, for me, you got Harrisburg at my 4th spot. They are 6-2 with wins over Cottage Grove, Oak Ridge, Monroe, Vail, Amity, and Lowell. Not really the best of wins, but like they only lost to Grant Union by 4, and they lost to Sio by 2, which I have Sio later on in these rankings, but I still think Harrisburg is a very, very good team this year and should be competing for their league title this year. I think it's, yeah, they'll be in a tough league with Pleasant Hill and St. Am, who I both have in my top 10, at least for right now. Then going on to Brookings Harbor, just another very solid team this year. There's 3A softball is very, very good this year, and it should be very, very interesting. The top 10 teams are all pretty good squads. And then you got Brookings Harbor, who barely lost to Dayton because they pulled their starter. They're up 4-1 going into last inning, pulled their starter, and ended up losing. But that's a quality team right there. Beat Wilhelmina by 1, beat St. Anne by 4. They're gonna be a tough squad this year. Going on to Dayton, it was kind of weird placing Dayton this far back because they're generally the best team in softball, well, at least in like 16, 17, all those years, they were really, really good. And then Glasgow kind of took over in the next couple years. But, I mean, they're always a good team. They mean to beat Rainier by 11 to start the year. Then they go on and beat Brigham Harbor, like I just said, by 2. Then they barely lost to Taft by 1, who I have Taft here right behind them at 7. And then they lost to South Gunport by 11. But Dayton's good. They're going to be somewhere in there in that mix. I just felt that they're too good of a team to kind of drop outside of 6, because Taft may have beat them by 1, but Taft also lost to Toledo by 9 beginning of the year. And then South, but then like then you look at it, then Taft played really, really close with South Umpqua, who was my number one. So, I mean, like I said, anyone inside this top like 8, I think, could be potential like a top 5 team. But they're just so, this 3A is just so loaded, it's hard to leave someone out of there. Going on for my 8 is Pleasant Hill, and like I just said, Pleasant Hill is a very good team. A couple of the girls on that team play softball and club teams, so they're definitely good at softball, and they have been for the last couple years. They've got some youngsters on there, and there's only 3 seniors on the team, but they should be a good squad this year. I want to look at their wins here really quick. They're 4-0. They beat Springfield by a lot and Cottage Grove twice, which I want to look at Cottage Grove here really soon. Quick, they're 2-3, and they beat Douglas, but Douglas is a pretty quality team, so Pleasant Hill should be very good. And then I have Sayo coming in at 8. Let's look at Sayo really quick. I think they're pretty low in the OSA rankings just because... No, they're 2, actually, my bad. They're 4-1, and they beat Kennedy by 3, beat Willamina by 5, beat Enterprise, which Enterprise is a good team. Enterprise is in my consideration in the top 10, but they just didn't quite make it. But they beat them by 2, beat Harrisburg by 2, lost to Grand Union by 10, which Grand Union, like I said, is the number 1 2A team. So, like teams like Harrisburg and the top teams were getting really close to Grand Union and not losing by 10, but Sayo's still a good squad and should be inside your top 10. You got Rainier, who I think they haven't really played many games. Yeah, they've only played 4 games. They lost to Dayton, but then responded and beat Malala and Umatilla and Seaside. This was a tough one for me. I think they should fit somewhere in here, but I'm not really sure where they should have fit, but I felt they should at least be in the top 10, at least in the back end of it. Then ending it out, you got St. Am Christian in the back end here. They're 2-2. They beat Jefferson, then Monroe by a good amount, Cascade by a good amount, but then had a close game with Taft losing by 5. And then they lost to Willamina by 1, and then, which that was surprising. That's Willamina's only win. That was a 2-1 game, so that's kind of interesting. Then they lost to Brigham Harbor by 4, so they're good enough just to squeak in at my 10 spot. And their RPI the whole year will be up there higher because of Harrisburg and Pleasant Hill being in that league. So they'll end up being in that area anyways, and like the actual rankings. So that's why I kind of placed them in there as well. And then Crestwell is a pretty quality team that's in my consideration. That's 3-2. And then Douglas kind of fits in that same mold. They're 3-4. Going on to talk about 4A baseball. I mean, my bad, 3A baseball. I already talked about 4A baseball. 3A baseball is really interesting this year. It doesn't seem like there's any just stud team this year. A lot of quality teams, though. Going with Brookings Harbor as my number one team. They're 3-2, but their only losses. One is to Hidden Valley, number one 4A team, by 2. And they were, I'm pretty sure they only had like 2 hits in that game, but they had a couple walks that really helped them in that one. They only lost by 2. Then they beat Sweet Home by 10 the next game, but then somehow lost to Glide, and I have no idea. I just think they got to their, like their third pitcher, and that kind of hurt them that day. But they're a very, very strong team again, as they were last year. And then St. Am Christian is my number 2 team. They have lost the Regis 2-9 to begin the year. They beat Jefferson the first game of the year, but they didn't count it for some reason. I'm not really sure why. I talked to some guys, and they didn't even know why either. But then I watched them on Saturday. They beat Monroe 10-6, but they were ahead by 8 going into the 6th. It was really close going on, but then they put like 7 runs together in the 3rd and really blew that game up. And then they beat Warrington 3-1. So I just felt like they're right there early on the week. I probably didn't have them as my second team, but they really impressed me this weekend. They have a couple of pitchers that really did well that I didn't even know about. So that's a team that should be right there. And then right after them, I have South Umpqua. South Umpqua is, they have a lot of guys that can throw heaters. All they throw, it seems like, is fastballs. That's all they throw. They've had a lot of close games to start the year. They beat Lakeview and then Crook County by 2. They beat Grant Union by 3, Warrington by 1, and then Scio by 2. And that's the biggest reason why I have South Umpqua at 3, because beating Warrington by 1 and then St. Anne beating Warrington by 2, I felt that kind of showed you the distance. It's really, really, really close, but it just feels like Warrington's a good spot at my number 4. Which Warrington's a very good team, and I would guess right now they'll probably win that league. It's them or Rainier generally every year anyways, but I would probably have them winning that league. And then looking at Warrington being at my number 4 in this rankings, a lot of it is they beat Scio by 1, who Scio was supposed to be good at the beginning of the year, but now they're 1-5. And they likely might be 1-6 or 1-7 because they play Warrington and Rainier to start their league. So that's tough for Scio. They beat Monroe by 1, which that was a really close game. They had to end it and an ending short because of time constraints, but they were right in that game. And then with St. Anne, they were right in that game. And they just kind of got shut down that game. I think they only had 3 hits in that whole St. Anne game. Mikey Braun really shut Warrington down that game. He threw a complete game, so that was really impressive on that one. Warrington's a very good squad this year. Several talented arms, and they have a young pitcher as well that did good. And then Dawson Little is probably their overall best guy. He plays shortstop. He's a very good hitter and fielder. Next, I have Emil Carlton, which their record is only like 2-3, I think. Yeah, but they played a bunch of teams from California. 4 of them are in California. Their only team that they played was Toledo in Oregon, and they beat them by 22. So I honestly think that Yamhill could be a number 2 team, and San Yam could bump to 3. But with just not knowing their competition in Colorado, where they went, they went to AZ, but teams are from Colorado and Idaho that they played. It's kind of hard to put them there because they returned the majority of the team that went deep last year in 3A baseball. So I think Yamhill is a sneaky team that could be your number 2 in actuality. But I just want them to see them play some real teams. They play Taft tomorrow, so that will tell you a lot. If they beat Taft by 10 plus, then yeah, they are pretty legit and they probably deserve that number 2 spot. Which Taft is like a team that's in my consideration. They're not in my top 10, but they're a quality squad that should give you a good gauge of where they're at, which I still think I'm pretty high on them. Honestly, I think early on they were my pick to win it all, but I think that's a little bit outlandish at the moment because they only played 5 games, but I still am pretty high on them. And a team that I was warned about early on by some kids from Cascade Christian said, watch out for us this year. We're going to be pretty good. And that was Keith Reed at Coos Bay. He ran into me, and they for sure are pretty good. I mean, they're 5-1. They only lost me into a California team. Then they beat Eastland, which Eastland's not a good team in 2A. But then they go out and smack Lapine by 14. Super impressive with that one. That really shocked me. Then they go and play Pleasant Hill, which Pleasant Hill is a team that is sneaky, and they're in my in consideration. But I was surprised it was that close, but I'm not sure what happened in that one. But I have Cascade Christian as my 5th team. Really impressed at me with beating Lapine by that much. Lapine is not as good as they could be because DeForest is not playing baseball. but they're still a team that is very well coached, and they are always good at baseball, so you can't forget about Lapine. Going on, I have Lapine at 7 after just talking about them. I think I just made a mistake. I had Cascade Christian at 6. My bad if I said 5. I have Lapine at 7. They are 4-2. Impressive wins by them is Joseph by 9. Then they beat St. Mary's Medford, who I have as my number 10, by 1. And then they beat Glide by 10, who I think I think this was the game before Glide had just beat Hidden Valley. It was the game after, so just kind of, after they just beat Brookings Harbor. Then they lost, and they beat Seaside by 2, which Seaside's a decent 4A, I think. I'm pulling it up here. I think Seaside is, they're 3-2, so they're decent. But I think Lapine's just, they have too many good guys in that team to really fall out of that 7th spot for me. And then Rainier, I have at 8th, which Rainier could be better. I just don't know. They've only played one game, I think it is. So I think they beat Dayton 10-4. So, it's hard to take anything away from that. Oh, they actually played another. Yeah, they only played one game, so it's really hard to tell where a team is at their one game, obviously, and that's why I said them 8. They could be a team that's your 5th or 6th team. You can't tell enough from that one game. And then one that might surprise some people, but if you look at their wins, they haven't really played anyone at all, but I have Blanchette at 9 because they're 4-0. I mean, they did play Taft, and it was really close. They ended up winning by 9, but it was a 2-1 run ball game into the 4th or 5th until they just went off. But I have them at 4 because they have a potential this year, and they start at 4-0, and you kind of need to give them some props for starting that hot. And then I have St. Mary's Medford coming in at number 10, which that league, Special District 4, should be loaded this year. Should be super fun. St. Mary's Medford is a very quality squad. I mean, they only lost to Pine by 1, beat Joseph by 6. They deserve to be right in the mix of things in 3A this year. And then teams kind of right outside of the bubble is, you got Taft, who is 5-3. Harrisburg might even be on that bubble there at 2-1. Looking down here, I think Dayton should be a better squad than most people would think this year. I mean, they beat Tillamook by 5, which I think Tillamook is not good this year, but I think Dayton might be in consideration at the end of the year. They're definitely got some players in that team, and I think Taft is in that consideration also. They just had a really rough start, but they're good enough to at least hang around. And then Douglas also is probably in that consideration as well. I mean, they're 3-0. They beat Glide by 7, but then they played North Valley, which North Valley isn't good this year. So it's hard to say exactly where they're at. Now going on to 2A softball to end things for the 2A softball. I mean, the softball side of things. This one was really, really hard to kind of place where people might be. Same with 4A. Softball, if I didn't say that. 4A softball is incredibly hard after about the 5th team decide where teams might be placed in here. I went with Lakeview as my number 1 team. They're 6-0. They're super young. They only have 1 senior on the roster. Then they have 5 juniors, and then 7 sophomores, freshmen, it looks like, and then 2 sophomores, so they're really young, but also very, very good. Like I said, they're 6-0. They really haven't played the best of competition. They played Castle Christian, beat them by 15, North Valley by 12, and Wilhelmina by 4. So that didn't scream the best overall team they played. But they still should be a team at least 1-2 in anyone's rankings. And then you got Grant Union, who's starting off the year really hot. I think I talked about them earlier as being my number 1 team, but I kind of flip-flopped them at the last second here. got they mean to beat Burns, who's a top team in 3A, beat Kennedy, beat Harrisburg, beat Enterprise. I mean Sio. I mean they're a good team. Grant Union is right there. They could definitely be in that top spot. I just kind of favored Lakeview as of now, but Grant Union could definitely take that number one spot. And then after them, you got for me, I got Union/Cove. I mean, they beat Toledo by 4, Seaside by 17, Tillamook by 4. Their only loss is to Burns by 3. And then they beat Warrenton by 11. They're a good team. They deserve to be right in there. A lot of 2A teams, at least in my top 10 for 2A, a lot of them have a lot of wins and very few losses. And the other ones have a lot of teams that have played some really good competition, so they're like 3-3, but for definitely for 2A softball, a lot of teams that have only one or maybe two losses at most. Like this next one going on, Vernonia, they're 5-0. They haven't really played the best competition, but they are dominating when they have played. So I think they're the margin of victory is over like 15 plus runs. So they're very good. And then this next team, which I really, really like, is North Douglas. They're 3-1. I mean, no, they're 3-0. But just like Vernonia, their lowest margin of winning is by 12. So they're very good. They're not really being tested right now, but North Douglas is very good this year. And then the next one is kind of a weird pick. I put Glide at 6 for my pick. I mean, they did beat Kokio by 16 and then Douglas by 10. I just felt they had a better resume compared to the other teams that I'm gonna be placing after them. I have Toledo at 7, and why I did that because they played 9 games and they're 4-5, so it's hard for me to put a team that's already lost 5 wins higher than 7.